You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Brother Wolven, it's a new day, it's a new dawn, it's a new era. We're living in a new world. How's it going today?
Doing just super. Other than being frozen to death, it's very good.
You know, it's supposed to warm up tonight. It's supposed to warm up, so hopefully we're going to see probably some snow, then some rain, and then freezing rain, and it's going to be messy, but it's going to be a little warmer, so stay inside. Don't be wandering around. I'd hate to see you slip and fall.
Okay, whenever it's 0 Fahrenheit here, what is it there, like 30, 40 below?
That's a good question. Well, zero is freezing here,
right.
So then we just start going negative from there. So, I don't know. Zero Fahrenheit. Let me check. I'll check and see. See if I can find it on the old internet real quick.
Yeah, we got -6 the other night. So,
wow.
-6 Fahrenheit.
So -6, 10 degrees Celsius is 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay. So what'd you say, 0 Fahrenheit?
Wondered what 0 Fahrenheit was there.
Okay, 0 Fahrenheit is -17 Celsius.
Ooh, that sounds much colder.
Yesterday with the wind chill was -30 Celsius.
Oh, that even sounds colder.
So, yeah, so that would be, that's -22 Fahrenheit. -22 Fahrenheit. Yeah, that's cold. Anytime you say anything less, when you say negative, it's cold.
No matter which thermometer you're using.
Right. If I'm not mistaken, I think at -20, they're the same. I can't be right. Minus maybe it's 40. There's a point where they equal out.
Well,
sure.
Let's hope we don't get down there.
-40. -40 Celsius and Fahrenheit is the same.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, you don't want to go there.
That'd be North Dakota, maybe Minnesota.
Yep. When I was preaching a winter camp out in Winnipeg, Manitoba, I don't think it ever got warmer than minus 40. It was many times minus 50 degrees without the wind chill. The kids could only go outside and play for about 10, 15 minutes, and then their skin started to freeze.
Well, yeah, you'd have to layer up, have no flesh exposed, man.
Oh, no, you couldn't. But, I mean, their faces, and those guys, you know, they're all pretty tough guys out there. They're used to it, they say. But there were kids that went out, and their noses were freezing, and their ears were, you know, like turning really red, nigh into turning black and dying and falling off. But not me, man. I stayed inside by the fire.
You had to be available for counseling. That's what it was.
Well, I was praying and studying.
Yeah, you're saying, Lord, get me out of here.
Yeah, I did try, you know, to participate as much as I possibly could at any camp I do. I'm going to be participating with the kids. I love that. But I'll tell you what, I don't know what's that worse, that or being in the swamps of Florida in the summertime at camp.
Oh, yeah, they're both bad.
I did one of those. I actually did a couple of them in Haines City, Florida. It was crazy. It was crazy. But, hey, they do it. So I go to the people. Brother Wolven, I don't know if you've noticed, but in our world today, there seems to be an astronomical amount of sexual problems and sexual deviance in our world today. Have you noticed?
Yeah, whether it's more or whether they're just getting more press, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm telling you, I want to ask you, why do you think we are so much more, or maybe like you say, maybe it's just because we hear more, but why are people so sexually crazed today? Why are we seeing a huge increase in those things, do you think?
Well, I think legitimately it really started with World War II, and then after that, the rock music craze. You know, whenever the quote-unquote free love began, and, you know, you couldn't necessarily say anything was pornographic anymore. Everything's beautiful, supposedly. You know, we've cast away all restraints because we've just want to break the shackles of Scripture.
I have seen such a huge increase in ministries here in our country arise, especially in pornography. It is a plague. It's a plague upon our nations.
Yes.
And it is a serious problem in our churches. It's a serious problem for all of us. And I can only see it getting worse. We've talked a little bit on this podcast about, you know, some of those effects. And you gave a statistic. I don't know if you remember that, about the number of hits on a site or something. You gave, I can't remember what it was now.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, it just blew my mind.
I was amazed, too, just doing that research. It was just unbelievable. Yeah. It was in the billions of hits per month.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. And I just, you know, with the openness of sexual things today, and I mean, with people living together, with people being promiscuous before marriage, and still people are running to that and craving that, it just blows my mind. And the sad thing is that children are getting involved, and we're conscious that there are children listening to this podcast, and we're very guarded in what we say and how we say it. But there are children being exposed to those things at a very early age in our school systems. At what age does a child become exposed to some of those things in your school system in the States?
Well, we've been doing some research here in Ohio because we've been greatly alarmed about the obscenity that is in our school systems. And you're talking already kindergarten and first grade. They're teaching children to name parts and telling them that it's okay to do different things at that age.
Yes. Same here. I think it's grade 2 when they officially start a sexual education training, and it just blows my mind. But at the same time, I've had principals tell me that they're dealing with children who are becoming active in grades 3 and 4.
That's what they're being taught.
Yeah, they're being introduced to it and become experimental, and then brothers and sisters and seeing parents on the internet, all of those things. Kids are movies today, cartoons. I don't think we really take a close look at what we're allowing our kids to watch through cartoons today. And it's much different when you're a parent and you listen. And even looking back on some of the things we watch as kids, some of the innuendos and some of the things that were being said back then were conditioning us.
Oh, absolutely. And that medium is a great indoctrinator. I remember when I was in college, and of course, now this goes back to like 1979, I had come and was back home for a little bit in the summer and wound up just through an unusual situation. I wound up watching Sesame Street for about 15 minutes. And there was a clip of Big Bird going to a disco. Now, of course, I'm really dating myself, but that's okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, but what caught my attention is that Big Bird was going, "Oh, disco is good." And it's like, wait a second. And so they said, "Hey, look at that." And they're pointing out all the different things and all the moves and the ball on the ceiling and the disc jockey and, you know, everything. And every single thing Big Bird must have said, I started counting. I didn't pay attention. Then I started counting. I got up to 48 times where Big Bird said, "Disco is good." You know, repetition is one of the keys of learning.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're saying, look, it not fun. Oh, this is interesting. Wow, this is colorful. Mm-hmm. This is good. You know, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in that same area, and I got to tell you, he was right. It really was awesome. Not. I was the guy in gym class who did not participate to learn, you know, the disco moves. My teacher wasn't very happy, but I was the only guy that said, I can't do that. It's against my religion.
Yep.
Save me some real embarrassment. But, yeah, I know. And today, through video games, if you're not monitoring what your kids are playing through video games, you need to watch those video games with them, because the music and the attire and some of those things that are going on and those video games are not very godly at all. The language in some of them is not very good at all. And parents just think, well, they're just playing a game. You better be guarded today in all that you say. I like what you said about kids having cell phones a while back, that at what age do you give your child a cell phone? And I believe your answer was somewhat of this, that whenever you want your child to have an untethered
access to pornography.
Opportunity, access to pornography, exactly.
Yeah, and yeah, somebody said, and that
there's a lot of truth
in
that.
A non-Christian said it on Fox News like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's and that today is the problem. If your child has a computer in their room, you're making a mistake. If you're giving your kid a phone without some kind of supervision, you're making a mistake today. I've talked to, and I'm sure you will attest that, I've talked to men in my ministry who accessed pornography through computers and through phones, and their wives had very little knowledge of it. And when it came out, it was devastating, devastating.
Yes.
Do you think today that as pastors, we have a greater obligation to preach about, to warn, to do seminars on these kind of things?
I think we need to address the issues, and I think that we need to try to be getting to the core of the issues. Of course, you know, the more I'm in the Word, the stronger I'm going to be able to be to withstand temptation and be listening to the Spirit of God. We all have things that we deal with, and we will continually have it until the day that we're out of this body and this body's changed, and then we have a new body which we can serve the Lord 100% completely without sin, and that'll be so joyful. But yeah, we need to be addressing some of these things. I don't think that we need to continually get people's conscience or get them thinking about these things. But we do need to right. be equipping and encouraging the saints to stay clean and to beware of things. And nobody needs to be told. I mean, we need to say it, but you don't need to be told very much at all. We know what's right and wrong.
I want to say to those that are listening, to those ladies that are listening, and you're not going to understand this, every man in your life is going to face the temptation of those things without question. There's not going to be one that's not. And I will let you know that most of the men in your lives have either seen or are going to see something that we would consider pornographic. On television, on a computer, on a billboard, they're going to see that stuff. And ladies, we want you to help us and to guard us. I read a great article one time, and it talked about ladies' magazines and how ladies bring those into a home. If you go through some of those ladies' magazines, I'm telling you, there's some stuff in there that men should not see. It's women that are poorly dressed or suggestively dressed, and women don't think anything about it. I think you really need to guard yourself and be guarded about those things. And especially if you have young men in the house, you've got to be thinking that way. Though you don't want to, or you don't want to think that you have to think that way, you really do. Give us one more thing, Brother Wolven, that people should look for or guard themselves against.
Well, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. It all depends how guarded that we want to be about our life. We need to be compassionate with one another. We need to be helping one another. If a man be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But at the same time, if people know that what they're doing is wrong, and other brothers in Christ know that they're living a lie, the Bible says that we better be careful not even to be around that person, not even to eat in fellowship with them.
Wow. That's strong, strong advice and strong direction for sure. Well, listen, let's talk about this again on Wednesday and discuss some of the problems that we see and some of the things that we can give for young preachers to maybe help guard them and protect them. Preachers do fall prey to it, I'm afraid. Too many fall prey to it. And church members fall prey to it. We'll take a look at that on our next podcast. I'm Brother Al Stone in St. Thomas, Ontario.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. Don't forget to subscribe to us and give us a rating or review.
This is Tim Talks. Now it's Tim Time. Take what you've heard and use it and pass it on to someone else, would you? Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.